Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessibilist Doll.
What are we gonna talk about today, Emily?
Well, I'd like to say we're gonna talk about the spider that's been crawling all over my house this entire night and delaying the recording of the podcast, but alas, we have something a little bit more important than that.
What's that?
We actually have a guest.
A guest?
What is it, like our third one, our fourth one in Accessibilist Doll history?
Something like that. Top 10 for sure.
We haven't even hit 5. The point is, we have someone else here to talk at you for 45 minutes. Woo! Say hello.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. How you doing?
I'm so happy to be here. I am so excited. So excited.
Can you tell us who you are? Because we know who you are, but the other people at home don't.
Sure, I can. My name is Andrew Gerza. I am a disability awareness consultant and host of the Disability After Dark podcast.
We do like fellow disabled podcasters. We're all into the disabled podcasting biz.
We're all into the togetherness. It's a family thing. It's a family thing.
Definitely. So we decided that you needed to come on the show ASAP because you've been dealing with some bureaucratic BS. And that is not okay. But rather than us recap the story and then you tell it again, how about you just tell us what's been going on?
Sure. Well, it's been a crazy week for me. I, like everyone else in the world, had my passport renewal coming up last week. And I decided to go to the office and get it done. Now, I should preface before I go any further, I did go online to look at what my options were. And they have a form that you can fill online and type your stuff in, and it's fillable, but because it's 2017 and I am poor, I don't own a printer because I feel like I don't need to own one because it's 2017 and they cost a lot. I didn't have any access to print it out, so I was like, okay, so I'm gonna go to the office just because it'll be faster, and that way if I mess up anything on the forms, I'll be able to have somebody there assist me and guide me in the right direction, blah, blah. So I booked a special bus, a disabled bus to get there. Like, I booked a ride to get there 2 or 3 days in advance. And I said, okay, I'm going to go for like an... I read up online how long it takes. It takes like an hour to get it done properly. So I was like, okay, I'll book an hour off. So I booked an hour to go there. The bus happened to be late by 40 minutes, as they typically are. When they're accessible buses, it was late by 40 minutes, so I got there just in time. I got into the office, which didn't have an elevator to get into the passport part, which I found odd. It had one of those, like, 80s lifts that you put yourself on and somebody has to, like, come and do it for you.
Oh, those things are kind of creepy and terrifying.
Yeah, and it was just big enough for my chair, so I got up, I made it up, and I was flirting with the attendant, because he was cute. But that's not the point of the story. So then I go into the line, and I'm waiting like everybody else. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to grab my number and do it like everybody else. And I brought all my stuff, and I was ready to go. And as it came to me, I roll up and said, hi, I'd like to renew my passport, please. And the guy said, oh, you're going to need this form. And I said, great. I'm also going to need some assistance filling out that form. And thinking it would be no problem. And thinking the guy would say, all right, well, let me, you know, either get somebody or here's a computer or, like, I'll help you out, whatever it is. There would be some solution. The guy looked around the office, said, yeah, we don't provide that service. You're going to have to find somebody to help you with that. At which point I kind of stammered and was like, I just came all that way. Like, hi, I just spent an hour just to get here. Can we just do this, please? Like, can... Oh. And he was... I was literally stammering like that because I was so flustered. And he just said, well, you're going to have to find somebody to help you. And I, again, flustered, was like, who's going to... I'm by myself. Like, I don't have an attendant with me all the time. I'm alone. And then he handed me the inaccessible paper forms in an envelope and said, you should go do that. So I angrily huffed away, had to wait 45 minutes for my bus again, my accessible bus, to come back and get me. And then I had to fill the forms out with my attendant care worker at home and walk the forms to the post office and mail them.
So there's a lot to unpack there, but I think the thing that's getting me the most is how do you not, quote, provide that service? You know, it seems like that's not a service, that's just common decency. And how hard is it to do some writing for someone?
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of my thought on it. So, I mean, as soon as I got home, I called Passport Canada and I complained and I was like, this is not okay. I'm not okay with any of this. And they were, you know, apologetic, but they, again, didn't provide any answers for me. And I also lodged a complaint on their website that day, and then I kind of let it rest. But the more and more I thought about it, it just really, it really pissed me off.
It should.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's any sort of reason, like, why it wouldn't piss anybody off. I mean, did they at least give you an excuse as to why they don't provide such a service?
The guy literally said, we don't provide that service. You're going to have to find somebody else to help you. Here's your form. And then I was sent on my way. No options, no, like, workarounds, no, like, sorry about that. Just, here you go.
It just seems unnecessary.
That's like, just bureaucracy at work.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just bureaucracy. Yeah, exactly, at work. But I just feel like I was so angry too. Like I went on, by the time I rolled away, I was cursing expletives under my breath because I was just so annoyed because I had traveled all that way to be there, and I just thought this is not fair. This is like institutional ableism at its worst because I just want to get my passport filled out.
You'd be doing it under your breath with the cursing because I would totally not be doing it under my breath.
Oh, it was loud enough for the guy to hear. The guy definitely heard me throw some F-bombs, but I was trying to be professional. Trying.
This seems like something that points to a larger issue, which is, you know, well, two larger issues. First, governments and disability don't mix. And second, you know, people either go out of their way to help to the point that it's condescending, or if you do ask for help, it seems like it's Murphy's Law that they just won't help you at all.
Yeah. And I mean, in this instance, I would have taken the condescending over helping to no help at all. But I was like, I don't want to ask. And I literally thought to myself, I don't want to ask a stranger in the passport office. Like, it's so awkward to be like, excuse me, person that doesn't know me at all. Do you think you could just... I mean, I would have been doing essentially the same thing with the agent. The difference being...
No, but it's the agent's job to be there, though.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to say. The agent's job to be there. And, you know, they're being monitored by cameras and they're being monitored. So I would feel, you know, safe in that I could give them information and know that I'm giving it to somebody that I can entrust with it as opposed to, like, somebody. Where the option the agent left me with was to go home and give all my personal information to my caregiver, who I don't necessarily know super well, and be like, oh, thanks for that, when there should be options available.
I don't know. I mean, having dealt with Social Security here, like, that doesn't surprise me at all. I once got an envelope in the mail with information for me inside of it, but the person who mailed it must have taken a phone call from somebody else because on the outside of the envelope was somebody else's Social Security number just written there.
Oh no, that's horrible.
And that is a government worker doing that, you know? And it was just like...
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it would have been better or worse had, like, somebody helped you, but just to say that I don't know if it would have been better if, like, the bureaucrat helped you. But, I mean, we've had our own horror stories. Like, I remember when I used to collect SSI when I was younger, like, I took it for a whole year, and then they decided that I make too much money, although I didn't have a job, and I wasn't disabled, although I had CP. And then they wanted the money back.
I have so many questions about the American system.
For so do we.
Yeah, I was gonna
so many questions. I mean, how did they not think you were disabled? You have CP.
Oh no. They believed me for a year and then they stopped believing me.
All of a sudden your CP got miraculously.
You have to re-up the CP. I don't know how you do it there, but over here every year I gotta like plunge a needle into my neck, otherwise I become able bodied and then all the good stuff gets taken away.
Is there a form to re-up your CV? Because I should probably get on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to fill it out triplicate, you know.
Yeah, you pretty much have to keep proving that you have a disability. And this is frustrating because it's one thing if you are clearly temporarily disabled. It's another thing if you were born with your disability and it's not going anywhere. Or if you became paralyzed or something.
Yeah. And also, like, you could just Google the name of what the person says they have. and see that it lasts for life.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many, like, I know there's fraud, but, like, if you look at the statistics, fraud, at least in America, accounts for maybe, like, less than 1% of all the cases open with Social Security, so it's, like...
But if I'm gonna be fraudulent about my disability, cerebral palsy is not the one that I'm gonna probably come up with. I'm gonna make up a story about how I was in an accident or something
That's
happened.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. CP is so boring and common, it's just, like, no, I got my legs bitten off by a shark.
Yeah. CP is so provincial, it's, you know...
Well, I have a question. Something's been turning in my head since you said it. So did you go on your own to take care of renewing the passport? This is like the first part of a two-part question.
Yes, I did. When I leave my house, I no longer have attendant care.
Okay. So I think there's this larger implication there of disabled people can't be out in public if they don't have a keeper. That's kind of the vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah, and that's totally the vibe that I got from this individual. And the whole story smacks of that kind of ableism where, like, oh, you can't be out unless you have somebody. Or when I did eventually go to the media, because I went to the local media here in Toronto first, and then it went national, and a lot of people on Facebook were saying, oh, well, why didn't he just bring somebody? He should have thought about bringing somebody. He should have just asked a friend, or he should have brought his, you know, nurse or his caregiver. And I was like, wow, guys, do you really think that we all just go out with somebody? Like, no.
Yeah, that makes me think of how if I'm on the train, there are a couple of conductors who always seem to ask, like, oh, is someone coming to pick you up? Or, oh, like, who brought you here? Why is it any of your business? Like, I don't need a keeper. And you know what? The other thing is, if you do need a personal care attendant with you, that's fine. Like, I think that you can't escape judgment. There's just judgment either way. Either you're judged for needing help or you're judged for being out without help and you're assumed to require help that somehow people just aren't giving you if you're out by yourself. That was like a very convoluted way of saying all that, but hopefully you get what I'm saying.
I know, I follow. I think that the double standard is so not fair. And the idea that these governments, both in Canada and both in the US, you know, we tout independence and like full citizenship for people with disabilities in the law, like in the States it's in the ADA, and in Ontario here it's in the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, or the AODA, as we call it in Ontario. So we tout this kind of like, oh yeah, you're totally going to be independent, you're a full citizen. But then when you, as a full disabled citizen, go and ask for help, you're categorically denied because you're disabled.
I have a lot of questions.
I'm so ready.
Well, I don't even know where to start. I have so many. Okay, one. Do you have a national disability law like we do, or is it by province only, like you're implying?
I don't know what the other provinces are like. I think there are provincial laws. We don't have a national law yet, which is something that many, many activists in Canada are trying to push
that
forward.
Interesting as hell, man. Holy crap.
We don't have one. It's in our Charter of Rights and Freedoms that you can't discriminate against somebody with a disability, but it's not... There's no laws governing disability in any way in Canada, no.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It's interesting and sad.
Well,
enough that Kyle and I made faces at each other at the exact same time when you said that there was a local version.
But wait a second. But like, yeah. But I guess if you have anti-discrimination in your what I guess would be your constitution, I don't know.
Pretty much, yeah.
Then I mean, that's really what the ADA is for. So, like, but that is still weird to hear. Would the passport office have helped somebody non-disabled fill out the form? Because if the answer is still no, to me, it's still the same amount of bullshit. But
they probably wouldn't have. But I think the difference is that I actively was like, hi, I'm here to get a passport renewal form. And I looked the guy straight in the eye and said, I'm also going to need help with that, waiting for some kind of resolution that wasn't, nope, sorry, bye. Like,
well, yeah, that to me is ridiculous. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I read the excuse that they gave, at least what the news reported. You know, they wouldn't want to be accused of leading on citizens. And I suppose I understand that. But, like, when somebody comes to you with a clear and obvious issue directly related to their ability to put pen to paper, I mean, you know, I just...
And I mean, I think why it's so troubling for me, this whole thing, I just wanted to get my password done. I just wanted to get my password done like everyone else. But why it's extra troubling is that this is not the first time this has happened in Canada. Actually, after I was done telling the world my story, I found out that somebody in another part of Ontario had this happen to them at the beginning of last month. So it's really, really prevalent. And as much as I don't like that it's happening, I think the more we talk about it, maybe things will change.
That just seems like a stupid rule. Like, I understand, okay, no employee can fill out a form on behalf of a citizen. Sure, okay, whatever. But if they physically can't and are also being watched, like, that's a totally reasonable exception to me.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I would have agreed to sign a waiver. I would have agreed to, like, also, it's 2017. The fact that they don't have... In the office where I was, and I found out later, in every passport office in Canada, they don't have computer kiosks.
I was going to ask about that, too, because the whole issue wasn't that you were unable to fill out the form. In the first place, it was that you didn't have a printer.
Yeah.
I think my real question is, why is there not a protocol in place?
Well, you say that like there's one here, Emily. We still have to fax our...
No, I don't mean that. Oh, yeah. Getting passports, I don't remember going to...
Yes, you do. You go to the post office, you fill out a form.
Oh, you get your picture taken. Yeah, fun stuff.
And but then you go somewhere else. Passport office. Yes, it is.
I have no recollection
of
this.
No, it's technically a passport while in Canada. That place that Emily's describing in Canada would be called a passport receiving place, which technically is not a passport office in Canada. I learned this today because Passport Canada called me and we had this whole discussion. It's not a passport office. It's a receiving agent who will then do some shit with your forms. But I actually went to the Toronto version of the passport office thinking that they would have, you know, state-of-the-art everything. And it was so archaic. I was, like, surprised.
Well, here you have to go to your post office and it has to be a special post office. Like, you got to look up if your post office does it. And if it doesn't, you got to go to one that does. And then... They'll have the form, and then you got to sit in the back room for like 6 years, and then you got to go somewhere else to get your photo taken, unless you're lucky enough to be in a post office that does take your photo. You
go somewhere else?
Of course you do, because capitalism, I guess.
So, but then, what about like disability, and what if you...
What's a disability? You can get into the post office, they're all accessible, but as far as everything else goes, that's it. Oh, I had one guy argue with me, because I didn't have a New York State driver's license, because I don't New York State drive. But I did have a New York State identification card, which looks and functions just like a driver's license, except I can't legally drive with it. For all intents and purposes, it's worth the same amount of identification as a driver's license. And as I was getting my passport, I gave them that. And he was like, oh, we can't take this. And I was like, yeah, you can. I was like, yes, you can. And they were like, no, sir, we can't. I'm like, okay, well, can you like ask your boss to take it then? Because I'm positive you can. Because I was holding a form that said acceptable forms of identification. My card was on it.
Oh, dear.
But I ended up, it was fine. And then, but yeah, getting your passport in America too is just like a giant pain in the ass. But they last 10 years, so.
Yeah, ours have some weird thing where it lasts 5 years, but this year they added the 10-year thing. So I was just being responsible. I was like, I'm going to get the 10-year one. And I was all, you know, I was actually excited to get my passport down because, you know, when you're disabled, doing bureaucratic things, as we just discussed, is hard. It takes a lot of energy and time and like commitment to get that stuff done. So I was like, I was very proud of myself that I was like, okay, I'm going to do the thing and be an adult and like do this. I'm going to take care of it. Yeah. And then when I was denied, I was like, oh, wait, disability, ableism, what?
Yeah.
Not fair.
See, I work for a company that like thinks that modern bureaucracy is stupid because their whole shtick is like common sense gets in the way of, or bureaucratic laws get in the way of common sense. Which is why they loved your story. But, yeah, they would eat this up, right? I mean, this is the kind of thing that, you know, it's just so silly. You said, you know, doing bureaucratic things is harder when you're disabled, but I imagine part of that is because most people don't need, like, an extra step, right? But if you do, you know, they're not allowed because that's against the rules.
Yeah. Or something like that. I mean, I just think it's just, I just feel like it's ridiculous and I feel like it's unfair. And it definitely was ableism. I mean, it was kind of cool because I got to go on national news the next day. So that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something.
Yeah, you know, silver lining, all that stuff. But I always say that I would much rather this just stop happening and me not have to keep complaining about this and talking about this. I mean, is it fun to be in some kind of spotlight? Yes, I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, I really don't want the spotlight if it means that all of this stuff would go away. And I've thought about this over and over again to decide if I sincerely mean that when I say that, and I do.
I have a question.
I might have an answer.
Do you have a passport? Did you get it renewed?
It's being processed, which means that So in hopefully 21 days, I'll have a passport. And hopefully, after speaking to the passport lady today, my hope is that I will not be charged the $160 fee for the passport.
Yeah, no, that, after that whole ordeal, I'd very politely insist that they waive that.
She didn't say that it would be waived, but she was like, we'll keep an eye out for it. So I'm hoping in, like, polite speak, that's code for, you're not going to be charged for this.
Well, it's either that or we'll rush it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I really want to know how this passport saga ends. You keep us posted.
Well, my guess is he's going to get the passport. It's just with a whole lot of extra drama that you didn't need to have. And the other thing that's super annoying is this is a straight up passport. You know, anyone can go deal with the whole system of getting a passport. But I mean, if you had to jump through hoops for that, I just can't stop thinking about all the hoops that people have to jump through regularly for things like Social Security, you know, disability benefits and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the same kind of ridiculousness in Canada in terms of disability benefits. Like, I'm on what's termed, I guess, the Ontario version of SSI, which is Ontario Disability Support.
Wait, is that also local? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's amazing, too.
Yeah, it's there's no what? Federal disability.
Holy
yeah,
shit. It's like a libertarian's dream. Why isn't everyone talking about Canada?
It's provincial.
It's so
everyone
weird.
Is talking about Canada. Everyone is jealous of Canada. Everyone would prefer that instead of the orange goon, we had Justin.
Hold on, wait a second. Is it true that Justin Trudeau is cracking down on disabled immigrants coming into the country?
Yep,
that's okay. A real thing.
Okay, so I don't think that we really like
Canada. Yeah, on a weird aside, and this is my own views, Trudeau's pretty, but he's not the greatest prime minister. People are
I'm going to agree with you because there's plenty of things that I don't like about him, but I'm just going to say that I would actually trade who we've got for like a can of dry paint.
Oh, who you have is like the devil's minion come down to like rid the world of everything.
But I totally agree with you. Like, he is great to look at. Justin Trudeau is seriously good to look at. But that's the thing. Everyone's so busy being like, oh my God, the hot guy carried someone in a wheelchair downstairs one time.
Oh my God, can we talk about how much I just yelled so loud my levels like...
No, it's totally fine. But it makes me angry because it's all like, look what a good Samaritan he is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then when I try to point out to anyone who shares that story, like, sorry to burst your bubble, he may be carrying someone in a wheelchair, but if that someone in a wheelchair wanted to emigrate to Canada, there's a pretty good chance they could be denied.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what the disability bubble does.
Unless it got him a photo op. If you'll notice, he's really good at the cameras, but he doesn't do much else. Like, he was in the
That's happened like someone we know.
right. He was really good. He was at our Pride Parade last year in Toronto, and the whole city, like, oh my God, Justin Trudeau. And I just thought, you know, he's only doing it because he's pretty and because he knows it's gonna get him, like, people like, yeah, you're awesome. But I agree with you, Emily. That story of when he carried that person down the stairs, I have seen it, and it's been resurfaced on my feed a bunch of times. And I cringe every time I see that because I'm like, guys, like, it doesn't make him a better leader. He just did what was nice to help this person. And the
That's what gets me so frustrated. I cannot stand when it's like, look, this person did something nice. Although, if you want me to be real with you right now, I'd actually love if Donald Trump carried someone in a wheelchair down the stairs, because I guarantee that he'd probably fall because he's in such bad shape, and then it would just turn into a media disaster.
He's not in bad shape, Emily. He tested positive for everything.
Well, I mean, he can't. If he can golf like that through his whole presidency, he can't be in that bad shape.
Okay, just saying, I don't think golf is particularly a workout unless you're like Tiger Woods or something.
I just miss Obama. I don't even live in America. I'm an American living in Canada, but I just wish that, I just wish that Obama was
Wait, back. You're American?
Yeah, born in Cali, but raised in Canada.
Hmm.
So.
Well, lucky you for getting out.
Right?
So, yeah. I don't know. This just seems like a comparison episode between Canada and America.
I have a question.
Both of them are neither very good. What's your question?
I'm ready.
Does your milk really come in bags? Why does your milk come in bags?
Yes, it does actually come in bags. I don't. Why? You know, that's a great question, and I don't know why. I've never understood.
You know that. Ours doesn't, right?
You guys comes in like
cartons.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have more cartons here now, but for years, it did come in bags. And, you know, I always found the bags really inaccessible as a disabled person.
Wait, hold on.
Let's talk about food packaging and inaccessibility, which is the thing that started this darn podcast.
Isn't it your podcast anniversary recently?
Yes, it is.
Happy anniversary to us.
Yeah!
What do you do with a bag of milk? Like, where do you put it? It's a bag.
You put it in a container that holds the bag, and then you take a knife and you slit a little part of it and then you pour it for some reason.
That is so impractical. I don't know where to begin.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard. I want Canadian milk right now.
That's literally what we do.
Does Canadian milk taste weird? Is that weird asking a guy who lives in Canada?
I don't drink cow's milk anymore. I stopped drinking cow's milk when I was like 10. So I drink soy milk because my tummy likes it better. But I don't think they're any different, but I will say that Canadian chocolate tastes different than American chocolate.
American chocolate is terrible.
Is it, though? Because Kit Kats in America are my favorite.
Kit Kats everywhere else in the world are so much better than Kit Kats in America.
Although you have a discerning chocolate taste.
Have you had, non-American chocolate? Like, real non-American chocolate?
Probably not.
Oh, well, I suggest you never eat it, because you'll never eat a Hershey bar again.
I can't remember the last time I ate a Hershey bar.
What do you like?
I'm not really big into candy anymore.
What?
Well, what the hell was the whole conversation? Well, I don't know if I hate American chocolate or not. Well, actually, I just don't eat chocolate at all, and I also don't like candy.
No, I love chocolate, but I just am... I'm trying not to eat candy. I'm eating all this healthy crap.
Your preferred snack...
And
is
spiders, apparently.
...is tree bark, a.k.a. saltless... diet sourdough pretzel rods.
No. First of all, they're the twisty loopy pretzels. They're sourdough, they're unsalted, and they're delicious, and they were my vice, and I gave them up.
Why? That's like the healthiest thing in your house, I'm sure.
Tree bark?
No, guaranteed it's not.
Yes, I call it tree bark because who eats pretzels without salt?
Right?
I do.
I have questions about that. Like, why?
So, tell us something else about Canada, because clearly the actual purpose of this podcast was to discuss that you're from Canada.
Well, I can take you back to the issue we're trying to, like, talk around.
I mean, you could. You could. It's Canadian.
I could. So, I decided to start a petition on change.org.
Nice.
To get numbers up and to get people hearing about it. And actually, change.org liked it so much. The head of the Canadian Change.org called me today to give me tips on how to make it better. So my hope is that they will help me move things along. And I've contacted some lawyers, not to like sue the Canadian government, but I want to try to work with them to provide solutions. Because I was angry and I'm still angry, but me just being angry and stewing in anger isn't going to do anything. And
good for you, man. Honestly.
Being directly angry at them isn't gonna, you know, me throwing expletives and F-bombs and like, f*** you, and isn't gonna get me anywhere. So, as tiresome as it is, and believe me, it's fucking exhausting, I am trying to find solutions to then present the Canadian government with solutions, saying, look, here are like two or three solutions that are viable Let's do it.
That is seriously, like, very productive sounding.
I am totally very glad there was a good... Here. Yeah, well, I'm very glad there was a good outcome of that. You know, if nothing else, I always feel like if something's going to happen, at least it's good for the sake of being able to advocate so that hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and I mean, my hope also is that my, you know, as a disability awareness consultant, typically I talk about sexuality and disability, but if this can, you know, launch my career in another way, in another avenue, then I'm going to take all the accolades I can get, and I'm going to use this as a platform to build my brand on.
I mean, why not, right?
Yes.
And also, disability is a pretty holistic thing. I mean, even though your focus might be sexuality and disability, it's perfectly fine to, you know, branch out and talk about other things.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys have seen what I created with Disabled, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I want to take my next brand, is to getting people to talk about, in like 140 characters, their experience of disability, and to use that hashtag and to make Disabled the brand to get us talking about it. So, I mean, that's my goal, is to really to make people aware of, initially it was to make people aware of like sex, disability, and being queer, but it's grown into so much more than that, into making people aware of like what the lived experience feels like. And this experience of the passport office, I gotta say, as proud as I am of myself for doing it and for moving it forward, dealing with this kind of ableism on an institutional level is exhausting beyond measure. I have been up and down in the emotional roller coaster this past week. And really, I mean, nothing has really happened yet. I've just, like, I did the news, I did my passport thing, and like, but dealing with the kind of ableism on Facebook and on social media, and putting these stories out there and seeing how real the ableism is and how it's like there in words is really a lot to take in.
Yeah, that kind of stuff in general is just like, Kyle and I talk about this a lot. You know, he doesn't mind having the teachable moments, and neither do I, but I find them very draining.
Yeah,
and I find them amazing and great.
Why? I'm curious.
First of all, I never get to have them. I don't have a tell as obvious as a wheelchair, but boy, when I do, it's, I don't know. Well, I just like, how do you make the world better if you're not willing to go the extra mile? But I understand the frustration, obviously, when it happens to you every second of every day of your life.
See, like, I agree with that, and I agree with what you're saying. I relish the teachable moments when I can, but there are moments where I'm like, I'm not doing this today. Nope. Oh, nope.
Yeah, and I totally understand that. Well, there's no but. I just plain old totally understand that. I don't know. I think they're cool.
I don't think they're not cool. I just wish they wouldn't happen in the first place. But if they're going to happen and I can actually educate somebody, then I'm happy. But I just get disappointed if, you know, I can tell that whatever I said didn't register.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think they're cool when kids ask them.
Oh, agreed. Kids are the best. Kids are the greatest.
When like a 7-year-old.
2017.
What was that?
I said, out of context, 2017.
Kids are great. Kids are the best. Wow. That was in context. You just made that weird.
Yep.
Whatever.
I think it's great when like a 7-year-old will come up and be like, hi, so like, what happened to your legs? I think it's adorable because they genuinely don't know. And they're genuinely asking. And that's the moment where you have a moment to be like, hey, child, let me impart some like crippled wisdom on you. Hey, but when it's like somebody who definitely shouldn't be asking what happened to you, and they ask you what happened to you, it's like, really? Do I have to do this today? I just want to do my thing. Like, really?
My thing is like Emily said before, like, you're not going to, the person asking very rarely is going to go home and be better. They just want to know because they saw you. I understand the want to know because they saw you, because like, you know, you don't see a person in a wheelchair every day, I suppose. I get that. But what I don't understand, like...
But aren't you more and more... I mean, it is...
I agree with that, too. But what I'm saying is, like, it doesn't... You're not going to ask that question and go home and be like, I learned something today. I'm going to never do that again, because when I see someone else in a wheelchair, now I know better than to just ask what was wrong with them. They're not going to do that. The next time they see someone else in a wheelchair, they're going to do exactly that.
And I think... You know, why the phrase of what happened to you I think is troubling is because it's like, I think what they're genuinely asking is, I'm trying to find a place to connect with you. I'm trying to find a place where I can get to, like, where I can show you that we're on equal footing, which is ironic in many ways, that last statement. But they're trying to find a way in, and it's, that's why I think it's so hard, because on one level, I want to swat them away and say, fuck you, I'm not answering this. And on the other level, I understand that maybe they're just trying to find a way in.
I agree. But if they were truly interested in your life, surely there's better ways to do it. Like, perhaps, you know, hey, what's your name? Or anything else. It's true. You know? I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't know. I get it, though. I do, and I give it a lot more credit than some others in our world. But I still don't think it's just like, because it's always the go-to, you know? What happened to you? Well, actually.
And I mean, my boyfriend. I mean, I did. Yeah,
or like, you know, I was, well, actually, you know, I'm late to deliver a baby, but I have to stop now because I'm a doctor. Now I have to stop and explain to you exactly what happened to me, just so that you can feel good about talking to me today.
Yeah. Or I'm a superhero and I'm trying to save this villain. If you just hurt, leave me alone. Just let me go do my thing.
You know what this is making me think of? I had an encounter at the grocery store today.
Yes! I love encounters at the grocery store.
Well, this was actually an uneventful one, and I think that's precisely why I liked it so much. So I went by myself, just a quick trip there, and I knew that what I needed to get was at the very top shelf of the freezer case. So I asked a guy to go get it for me, and he got it for me. And that was it. There was no, like, acting like you did a good deed or was a superhero. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. And then I went to pay for my stuff, and I was emptying my bag and putting everything on the conveyor belt. And the woman in front of me moved two things that I was purchasing forward a little bit for me to make more room on the conveyor belt. And then she looks at me and she goes, I hope you don't mind that I did that. And I was like, no, I appreciate it. Thank you for your help. And I realized, like, isn't it just so nice when people don't make any bones about helping you and also acknowledge the fact that, like, maybe it's not always wanted?
Yeah, I mean, that's rare. But my question to that is, what was her tone?
Not condescending at all. I think she realized that she helped me before asking. And so she just wanted to make sure it was cool. And she was like, I hope you don't mind that I did that.
Good. It was comfortable. Isn't it weird when that happens? Because it's weird because we never see it. We always get the other one. So when that does happen and I'm happy about it, then I feel weird that I'm happy that nothing happened. Because I'm so used to, like, something ableist happening. And being ready for that, like being on guard for, like, okay, you're going to say something weird now.
So, like, Emily and I talk about that all the time. Like, she'll have days where she's like, we got to record, and then we'll you know, set this up, and she'll be like, Kyle, today something happened to me. I went to the grocery store, and someone asked me if I needed help, and I said yes, and they helped me, and that's it. And I'll just be sitting here, like, quiet, like I just was, and she'd be like, awesome, right? And be like, that's life.
But you see,
but no, I understand
it. A completely interesting thing to me.
I know, and it shouldn't,
like,
be
having, like, Kyle, you have a bit of, quote, passing privilege, I guess. Like,
I totally do. Yeah. People assume that I am hurt before I'm disabled.
And I mean, I think, and we were talking a minute ago about, like, when people ask what happened to you, I find it interesting that people ask that question, because what they're really saying is, if something happened to you, you were closer to normal, quote normal, than if you were born with a disability. If I think something happened to you, I can accept that. But I, God forbid, I would accept the point. I would accept that you were born with your disability from day one.
I agree with that, but I think the reason that happens is because they just don't want to, like, they put themselves in your shoes and immediately go, well, I'm glad it's not me. And that just is pure ignorance, because they don't know that your life doesn't suck. But at the same time, I understand that belief, because there's so little in the way of education
yeah.
in terms of disability at all, that that's the only logical conclusion that you can draw, especially given that we live in a world that's so not accessible that even any reason to be in a wheelchair should be avoided, according to these people, because they know that the world doesn't have elevators everywhere and such.
And the subway sucks and all those things.
You just did an episode on that, actually.
I just saw it, so that's why I brought it up.
Did you notice that baller graphic that Kyle made? Can we just talk about that?
Well, I mean, he's not going to understand that that's the colors of our subway and the lines and the fonts and the everythings.
Just tell Kyle it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
See?
I feel like there are so many things I could be talking about when I say that to Kyle, but I'm going to...
Oh, Kyle.
He knows I flirt with him. This is our friendship.
You know, I'm going to say you behaved yourself for like 42 minutes over here.
I did pretty good.
And on that note, I think we should do final takeaways.
Yeah, if you want to go first, Andrew?
Sure. Tell me again how. So what?
Just sum it up, man.
So passport offices need to provide help to people with disabilities, and in Canada, they don't.
Yeah, there you go. How about you, Emily?
The patriarchy, and I really don't like bureaucracy.
Those two things are completely unrelated, and I love it. Because they're completely unrelated. Like,
I'm aware they're completely unrelated, but they're also somewhat related. But the point is, I don't like either of those things. And also, oh my God, can you just help people? Can you just help people?
Can
but
you
only
just...
when they want it.
Yeah.
But that's not a hard, like, that's the thing. That is such a normal thing. And it's not in the case of disability. And it's just like the most confusing thing in the world. My final takeaway is bureaucracy sucks. The Social Security Administration sucks. America, you're all right, mostly. Canada, bagged milk, don't get it.
You should have ended with America, fuck yeah.
Single payer healthcare, wish we got it. And, you know, and America, fuck yeah, man.
Really?
Why not?
That's how we're ending it? No
way.
I'm going to type
every word I know.
Rectangle.
America.
America.
Megaphone.
Butthole.
So funny.
Okay, on that actual note.
For anybody that hasn't watched Parks and Recreation, they're going to think we're completely out of our minds.
Parks and Rec is my show.
Oh, good.
Yourself.
All right, no, okay. At least I'm glad you know, because we didn't even check with you first.
No, man.
I never check with anybody about my Parks and Recreation references. They just come out of my mouth.
I am the male version of Leslie Knope, pretty much.
Wow,
I'm the female version of Leslie Knope.
Yeah!
So you're Leslie Knope.
Yes, I am Leslie.
I went on Don Sarah's sexuality podcast a couple weeks ago, and I coined myself the disabled male version of Leslie Knope, and I had her laughing for like 2 minutes straight
that
up.
That really explains so much about everything.
Right, though?
It does. Anyway, good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Thanks.